Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here, and welcome to Take Your Bow, a new bite-sized podcast series from the Curtain Call stable that shines a spotlight on the people that make theater happen. In today's climate of increasing isolation, we want to bring you a daily dose of inspiration. In each episode, we're giving someone in the theater a chance to take a bow. From seasoned professionals to drama students, vocal coaches to life coaches, you'll find them right here giving insights into what drives them to be in the business and who inspires them. On today's episode is an assistant professor, Richard Bryant. Now, Richard Bryant is an assistant professor at the Academy of Performing Arts in Trinidad and Tobago. His journey there isn't a straightforward one, so I'm just gonna let Richard jump right in there and tell you how he got there.
Well, you can now put a pin on your map. I am speaking to you from the Twin Island nation of Trinidad and Tobago.
That is awesome. So why don't we just jump in, man? Like, that's a great way to start the whole podcast. Like, tell me who you are and what you do out there in Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay. Well, my name is Richard Bryant, and I am currently an assistant professor at the University of Trinidad and Tobago's Academy for the Performing Arts. My specialty is design and production. I'm basically the nuts and bolts guy. I did study design, and I have a master's degree in research and history of drama. And I had been bouncing around for a while doing not as much design, but being a production person for theater companies. I worked for a ballet company, and a lot of the things in between. But I moved down here in January of 2013, and I've been here ever since. I came here for like a 6-month contract, and it's turned into almost 8 years.
It's kind of how life works, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's, you do all this planning, and then life actually happens to you. And what has been actually one of the great benefits, other than the people and the exposure to a completely different culture, has given me, in a way, it's unlocked the greater world for me. I've gotten more involved in the international community, whether it be performance, whether it be design. As you know, because we're all doing teleconferencing now, I'm getting more interactive with projects that are much more wide in scope. If I had stayed in the United States, and I love my U.S., don't get me wrong, but I clearly would not be either the person or have had the experiences that I've had today.
I'm a firm believer that we end up where we're meant to end up. You know, we are presented with opportunities and choices, and we make those choices. And then, listen, did I ever think that I'd be in London when I graduated high school in California? Not in a million years. But by taking a year out, which ended up being 2 years out, to live with my dad in South Korea, because I'm an army brat, I met my wife, whose dad was also in the military, the English military. I followed her to university, and I've stayed. I mean, that's a hell of a journey, you know. And but I do have to say, I'm more envious of your weather than my weather.
You know, it's funny. I previously just spent 6 months in Berlin.
Yeah.
Studying at the TU at their design program as kind of a sabbatical.
Okay.
I didn't realize how much the Caribbean weather had affected me, because I was miserable. I was like, what is this cold? Where's the heat?
When did you know that you wanted to work in theater?
I know the exact moment. I was in junior high, and I had gotten involved with the music program, the choir, things like that. I hadn't blossomed into an athlete yet, and so I was just, you know, this was the thing that I wanted to do, because I had this kind of artistic bent to myself. And we got taken to the Lyric Opera in Chicago, is where I'm originally from. I'm originally from Illinois. And we went to go see Puccini's La Boheme. And I'm 12, I want to say, at the time.
Okay.
And we go in and first act happens, and I'm just not quite interested into what's going on. It's opera. I'm, you know, it's not my thing. Curtain goes down. We leave for the interval. We come back in. Now the first scene takes place in the artist's studio, and there's all the singing. We come back after the interval. The curtain goes up. It's all of a sudden, it's a street scene. It's snowing. A horse-drawn carriage goes across the stage, and I go, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I was firmly convinced. I that moment right there, that and when Les Mis came out.
Yeah.
Because Les Mis completely changed my feeling about musical theater.
Sure. And the same. I saw Les Mis out in L.A. In 1999 or 91, and I was like, oh, that's how it can be. I mean, I was a big musical fan anyway, but it was the first one I'd seen on that scale. So who inspired you moving into the business? Is that part one of that question? And part two, who inspires you now?
Oh, who inspired me to get in the business? Well, it's kind of like, I can't say it was like a particular teacher or something, because that's not who my heroes were as I was growing up. I grew up watching, again, there used to be a show called Family Classics on WGN, and they would show classic films. And I swear to God, on rotation, the two films that I remember most was watching Gene Kelly in Singing in the Rain and Errol Flynn in The Adventures of Robin Hood. And those things were like, I like what they do. I want to do that. The technical part was through high school. And also I had a friend, a high school friend whose name was T. Dan Cheshire. And he was the smartest kid I'd ever met.
Right.
And he was so cool because he knew all this technical stuff. And I wanted to do that. We went to university together, and our paths completely divided. If I hung it on someone, it would be him that really got me started.
Okay.
And I doubt he would remember that. But the person that keeps me going today, there's a lot of people there. I'll give you two people who have probably meant the most to me.
Okay.
And they both recently passed, which has been tough. The first was a stage manager named Malcolm Ewan, who was the longtime stage manager and eventually became an ensemble member for the Steppenwolf Theater Company. Uncle Mal, I doubt there's anybody who could ever say a bad word about him. He's a wonderful, wonderful human being. He helped me get my foothold in Chicago and gave me a place to stay, and I owe him a lot. And the second person was a sonographer who named Edwin Ermini, who is from Venezuela, and who I met down here. And he and I became colleagues, and he reintroduced me. He helped me dig out the kind of the passion that I'd lost for the production arts and theater because of his enthusiasm and the way that he brought it. And he would just make fun of me all the time. He's like, oh, you're such an American. Oh, you're such an American. And so those two, I keep their pictures relatively close by on my desk because I give them a lot of the praise and credit, and I'm completely grateful for however the universe brought them into my life to keep me going.
What do your family think of your job?
Oh, it's funny because my father says I'm a lot like my mother. My mother was a craftsperson, so you know it wasn't surprising if you had furniture or if you had all sorts of crazy things. At some point, they weren't surprised. The hard part was convincing them that I wanted to go study it.
Yeah.
When I went through the decision process of trying to get a school, I remember getting an envelope from NYU, and I was thrilled. I was like, oh, this is the coolest thing in the world. And and this is not a knock against my dad, because I love my dad. But he at that time, he said, well, that's great, but who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay. And I got a really fantastic education at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. They're a wonderful group. But I remember a little time afterwards, my father saying, you know, I never expected you to stick with it.
Yeah.
You know, it was so out of the scope of what he thought, but, no, they've enjoyed the fact that I found something that I really love to do, and it's fulfilled so many other aspects of my life that a bit like a business job or something would never do for me. They're like, nope, this is your field.
They must be really proud that you're assistant professor out there. Is that right? Associate professor or professor? Did I get that wrong? Or
no, it's an assistant, which is totally fine. It takes me a little bit to get used to it. my parents, like all parents, are always, they say they're very equally proud of all their children. My mother, every so often, like, because I worked at Steppenwolf, I worked on a TV show and things like that. And you may have experienced this too. It's like, oh, my son, did you know he got to act in this movie with this wonderful person? And it's just, oh, come and tell them about that story with Dr. Oz or that person. It's like, okay, all right, Mom.
Great stuff. So, you guys aren't on lockdown like we are here in London, are you? Are you having to self-isolate out there in Trinidad and Tobago yet? Or,
well, here's the thing about the island is, on some way, we're isolated as is.
Yeah.
So the appearance of the coronavirus, at least what has made here, has been initially from people who have traveled from afar and come here.
Yeah.
They have gone through some of the same procedures. Now, we are not at a stay-at-home, home isolation kind of thing. Because Trinidadians, by nature, are generally, they're out and about.
Yeah.
They like to, what they refer to as lime, and have gatherings and things like that. However, the borders are closed. So there's no flights in or out other than inter-island travel. You know, I got to give a lot of praise to the Trinidadian government, because they've been really on top of not only getting information out, but how to encourage people to take care of themselves, the way businesses have been dealt with. For all the kind of the warts that may be perceived that are here, they've been really on the ball. Now, I mean, I can go for a walk and the streets are relatively quiet. Some business is still being done, of course, but it's not nearly the hustle and bustle of a Wednesday afternoon, or where, you know, it's almost, you know, midday here and lunchtime. And, you know, we just don't have that.
Okay. So in the event that you would have to self-isolate for, you know, we've got 3 weeks, what cast album would you... if you could only have one cast album that you had to self-isolate with, what would that be?
Oh, it'd be Les Mis. Hands down. Oh, it's when you put on Do You Hear the People Sing, that triumphant song at the, just before the intermission.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. It gets me excited now, where some of my friends liked Phantom, or they liked Chess, or they liked Into the Woods. Hands down, no doubt about it, Les Mis, I could listen to that all the time.
Okay. Before we start with the last bit of quick fire questions, how do people find you online? How can people find out what you're up to?
Okay. There are a couple of ways. I run a podcast as well. It's called Archiving Technical Theater History. It's the longest, worst name for a podcast.
Say that again slowly.
But that's on Anchor. It's on Spotify. It's the Archiving Technical Theater History podcast.
There you go.
And it is a companion to the Facebook group of the same name, which has approximately about 10,000 folks from around the world who all have some interest in architecture, art, painting, as it relates to the production arts.
That's amazing. How phenomenal. This is what I love about people reaching out as well. I would have never known about that. Well, saying that, I think I may have just found out about it sooner than I did. So that is great. So we'll make sure that everybody knows about that.
Awesome.
Put it in the show notes. But now it's time to just do a few quick fire questions before we wrap it up. It's just a easy this or that.
Absolutely.
So let's, here we go. Movies okay. or theater?
Movies.
Stephen Sondheim or Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Ooh, wow. The hip thing would say would be Lin-Manuel, but you know, Sondheim has a real hold because that's where I started. So yeah. I'll go with Sondheim.
Okay. Twitter or Instagram?
Oh, Instagram. The Twitter trolls? Oh, forget that.
Broadway or West End?
I have never been to the West End, and I have only seen one Broadway show, and it was a show that I had known, and I knew the people that were there. So unfortunately, for right now, until I go see a West End, I'm going to lean towards Broadway.
Okay, excellent. So Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Ooh, boy. I've had them both, and I found I probably got more out of Amazon Prime because Netflix lets me down with some of the stuff that they don't have.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I think this is a silly question, having just spoken about it. Wicked or Les Mis?
Hold on. Let me take 30 seconds to mull this answer over. You don't need to answer that one. We know the answer to this
one. Dogs or cats?
You know, I used to be a cat person for a long time, but I've met some really great dogs, so I'm going with dogs.
Okay. And last one, Tom Stoppard or William Shakespeare?
Oh, goodness. I'll say, you know, just because I love language and the way that it rolls around, I really like Shakespeare when it's done well.
Yeah.
And I think there's something really elegant about the language that he does that I think everything that's come after it has been an attempt to recreate that. So excellent. I'll go with Shakespeare.
Okay, perfect. Listen, thank you so much for coming on and saying hello and bringing me sunshine from Trinidad and Tobago. And I look forward to checking out the Facebook group. I'm gonna have to go back and look up that name because I didn't write it down. It's a long one, and but I would definitely.
It's the worst name ever, but I'm stuck with it.
You guys, we were gonna have to come up with an acronym, and but thank you so much for getting in touch and let's be in touch soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the opportunity to your listening audience. I always say I'm putting out a power of positivity because in this time we need it, and you're doing great work, and I hope more people start their own podcasts and start having conversations because we really need to start being a little bit more inclusive than exclusive.
Oh, Richard, thank you so much, and all the best.
You too. Take care, man.
Richard Bryant, assistant professor at Trinidad and Tobago's Academy of Performing Arts. We all need a little bit of inspiration and happiness these days, and hopefully today's chat gave you just that. Thank you to everyone who has responded to our call out so far, and if you'd like to take your bow, get in touch with us on any of our social media platforms at Curtain Call, or email me at john@curtaincallonline.com. Join us tomorrow when another theater professional somewhere across the globe will be taking their bow.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.